Shall we pray? Our God and Father, we thank you this morning that we have the opportunity to look into your word, and we pray that we might find something profitable as we turn its pages. And we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to begin by reading from the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah is easily found because you just look for Psalms and then go backwards. And you have Job, then Esther, and then Nehemiah. So I'd like to read from verse 1 of chapter 1. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. And it came to pass in the month Chislow, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. It came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept, and mourned certain days, and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And I said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive, and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now day and night for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. We've dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if ye turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out into the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from hence, and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant, and to the prayer of thy servants, who desire to fear thy name, and prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. Chapter 2. And it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him. And I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been aforetime sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid. I said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. And I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, for how long shall I journey be, and when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Moreover, I said unto the king, if it please the king, let letters be given me to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come unto Judah. And a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace, which appertain to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. Then I came to the governors beyond the river, and I gave them the king's letters. Now the king had sent captains of the army and horsemen with me. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant the Ammonite heard it, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. So I came to Jerusalem, and I was there 3 days. And I arose in the night, I and some few men with me, neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me, save the beast that I rode upon. And I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, and to the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. And I went unto the gate of the fountain and to the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. Then went I up by in the night by the brook, and viewed the wall, and turned back, and entered by the gate of the valley, and so returned. And the rulers knew not whether I went or what I did, neither had I as yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work. Then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that he do? Will he rebel against the king? Then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we his servants will arise and build, but ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. I just want to say a few words this morning about the man Nehemiah and the time in which he lived, and the attributes and the endeavors of this remarkable man. Nehemiah is the last historical book in the Old Testament, and the events to which it refers occurred some 446 years BC, before the birth of Christ. You might wonder what we might get out of a book like this, written so long ago. It's about a man building a wall. But I think there's things to be learned regarding his character. And we are reminded in Romans, that Romans chapter 15, verse 4 says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we might, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. So, I think it might be useful if I set this book very briefly in its historical context. There had been among the Jewish people a serious decline in times, in the years previous to this book being written. People had turned to idolatry. They had been commanded, thou shalt have no other gods but me, but they turned away from that. And they had a succession of wicked kings practiced idolatry. And so the condition of the people in Jerusalem, the sons of Judah, had declined. God sent Jeremiah, his prophet, who forewarned them what would happen if they continue down this path. But sadly, his words fell on deaf ears, and the decline continued. There came a day when God said, enough is enough, and he allowed their enemy, King Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian king, to come up against Jerusalem, and he besieged it for 18 months, and eventually the city fell to him. There was a terrible slaughter took place. Secular scribes and historians wrote that the streets of Jerusalem ran red with blood. And Nebuchadnezzar, he spoiled the city, he damaged the temple, he did great damage to Jerusalem, and then he carried off the people. Now the Babylonians were a cruel, heartless people. They were known for their practice of putting out the eyes of their enemies when they captured them. So they were not most ungodly people. But God allowed the Nebuchadnezzar to carry off the Jews to his own land. Now, they remained in Babylon for some 70 years. And Babylon was quite some distance from Jerusalem. So these people, when they were taken out, the Jewish people, men, women, children, they were all taken out. It would be a long and arduous journey. The Bible, I don't think, tells us particularly about that, but I would not be surprised at all if there were many fatalities on the route there. It was some 500 miles to Babylon on the banks of the Euphrates River. And there God's people found themselves. It's a very sad story in the history of the Jewish people, the Babylonian exile. However, God had taken them out there. He had a purpose to bring them back. He had not abandoned them, although it might have seemed like that to them. God was working behind the scenes, and he was going to bring them back in his own good time. So, in due course, under a different king, Belshazzar, and I know many of you are familiar with that story, how Belshazzar held a great feast, but the hand of God appeared on the wall and told him that by an interpreter he was told that his kingdom was finished, his days were over. God had decided to overthrow in his own good time the Babylonian Empire. And so that night the Medes and the Persians swept in, and he lost his life, and the Babylonian Empire was finished. So now the Israelites found themselves with new masters, the Medes and the Persians. So now something very interesting happened, something which one might not have expected, but we can see God's hand at work. You need not turn to it, but if you go, Ezra chapter 1 tells us, now in the first year of Cyrus, the king of Persia, the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. We referred to him earlier with his prophecies of woe that he tried to forewarn the people of what was coming if they didn't repent. It says, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, And he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and he put it in writing, saying, Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all this people? His God be with him, and let him go to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build a house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem. Who would have thought that a king in Persia would have any interest in the Jewish people beyond treating them as slaves? But not so. It's an interesting phrase. It says God stirred up his spirit of the king. So he made a proclamation and urged the Jewish people to return and build the temple. And that's what he means by he charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. And not only that, not only did he encourage them, he even gave them back all the vessels of the temple which Nebuchadnezzar had carried out 70 years, many years earlier. Nebuchadnezzar had carried out, when he spoiled Jerusalem, he had carried out all the vessels and the cups and all the accoutrements and the candlesticks, so on and so forth. He carried them all away to Babylon as the spoils of war. Now here we have Cyrus, the king of Persia, gave them all back to the Jewish people. Amazing. And then he sends them on their way to reestablish themselves back in back in Jerusalem. And so there was both the captivity, both the taking out of the Jewish people to Babylon. It occurred in perhaps three phases, at least three phases. Likewise, the coming back took place in several stages. So we have the Jew Zerubbabel. He returned with a large number of people, and he rebuilt the temple that had been spoiled by, been ruined and dismantled by Nebuchadnezzar. He built it up again, and then he was followed by Ezra. Ezra was a priest, and he came with a band of people back to Jerusalem, and he established the worship in the temple, and he established order. And so a lot had been done before we come to the book of Nehemiah. But to go back to Nehemiah, here we are. Here we find Nehemiah in the king's palace. Now he was, chapter 1, he was the king's, chapter 2, he was the king's cupbearer. And that was a very high honor. Commentators say he probably was of a high-ranking Jewish family to even be considered for such a position, because it's a place of trust and honor. It was not uncommon for people to try to get rid of a potentate, a king or emperor, by poisoning him in his food or in his wine or whatever. So this was a high position of high trust that Nehemiah found himself in. So we find Nehemiah going into the king's presence, having made prayer and supplication in the previous chapter. We find him going into the king's presence and in his official capacity as the cupbearer. And the king detected, he got a sense something was wrong from the appearance of Nehemiah, and so he asked him what was wrong, and of course that caused great fear in the heart of Nehemiah, because in those days you were evidently supposed to look very happy, contented when you're in the king's presence. It was an offense towards a king or an emperor to appear to be anything else. So that caused great fear in the heart of Nehemiah, and then he prayed. So I prayed to the God of heaven, and then he made his supplication to the king. And again, we have no question about it, God working in the heart of the king, the king Artaxerxes. He was sympathetic. He was sympathetic to him, and then he said, "Well, how long will your journey be? When will you come back?" So Nehemiah set him a time. He told him, "Well, give me some letters. I need to get materials. I need to get lumber and all the other things." So he requested of the king that he got a letter to the keeper of the king's forest, and the king seemed to gladly give that. You can see here God's purposes taking place. So we have Nehemiah coming back to Jerusalem. Now, we might say here, we've seen two of the attributes of Nehemiah. He was a man of prayer. He made supplication, chapter 1, for the people, because he was concerned about the condition of Jerusalem and the Jewish people. So chapter 2, it's interesting that we obviously see that he was also a man of, he was a discreet man, and he had a lot of wisdom. Because when he got to Jerusalem, he arose in the night with a few trusted men, and he went out and he surveyed the walls, and he determined what was needed. But he did it quietly, and he kept it to himself until he had viewed the extent of the damage and seen what needed to be done. It says, "The rulers knew not whether I went out, neither had I as yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the rulers." So once he'd seen what was needed, he then addressed them. And then he told them of the hand of God, which was good upon him, and the king's words. And they said, "Let us rise up and build." So they strengthened their hands for this good work. He was an encourager. He told the people what had happened, and he encouraged them to get started, to build the wall and to make Jerusalem secure again and remove its reproach. Then we have where you have God's doing a work, you invariably have Satan's opposition. So here in chapter 19, when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, they laughed us, and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us. Said, "What is this thing that you do? Will you rebel against the king?" But Nehemiah was resolute. He answered them, and I said, "God of heaven, he will prosper us," and so on. So I would now like to turn to chapter 4. Chapter 4. We're back here. We're here. This man, Sanballat, we have it here. He makes his presence felt again. "When it came to pass that Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth, and he took great indignation, and he mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, 'What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish that are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was with by him, and he said, "Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall." Here you have them trying to make the builders, to cause disillusion among the builders, to discourage, even making fun, mocking them. "If a fox go up, he'll break down their wall." But Nehemiah, he prayed, "Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity." Verse 6, "So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work." And so this chapter goes on. It covers the mischief that Sanballat and Tobiah and the others tried to work. They tried to, when they saw that the ridicule didn't work, then they tried, they became a bit more deceitful. They tried kind of a form of blackmail. But Nehemiah wasn't going to have any of that. He continued with the building. And they built in difficult conditions, very difficult situations. Chapter 4, it says from verse 18, "For the builders, everyone had his sword girded by his side, and so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. And I said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall, far one far from another." So he put into place, you might call it a little alarm system. "If you hear, in what place therefore ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us. Our God shall fight for us." So we labored in the work, and half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning until the stars appeared. It was hard work. They, every man with a trowel in one hand and his sword in the other, so to speak. "So neither I nor my brethren, nor my servants, or the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, save in that which everyone put them off for washing." So you can tell from this chapter that conditions were not easy. Hard work and the constant risk of attack by the enemies. So I think we can see from this that Nehemiah, he was a man of a valiant man. He had many attributes. You can see chapter 1 how he prayed for the people in their condition. He was a man of prayer. He was a man of supplication. He was a man of wisdom. He was discreet. He was a man of resolve. And he was a man who endured opposition. But he made progress under these conditions. And one might just look, chapter 6, verse 15. Chapter 6, verse 15. So this the book of Nehemiah is a success story, because their hard work, their prayer, it was successful. It says, "So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month Elu, in 52 days. And it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of our God." And so, of course, the book of Nehemiah goes on to recount a lot of other things that Nehemiah did. You know, he's known for the building of the wall, but he did much more than that in the coming years. But he was instrumental through God's enablement to set up Jerusalem again, make it secure so that it was no longer a reproach, and God blessed his work. And I think that there's a lot we can draw from the character of this man Nehemiah. Thank you. Amen.